It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? The book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 39, will be the study today. So please that you open your Bibles to Genesis chapter 39. We'll begin reading in just a few moments. As you're looking that up, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois, at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you would like to write to us, our mailing address is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. Now, if you're ready to begin the study today, Genesis chapter 39, we're going to begin reading with the first verse. And Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his land. And Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him, and he made him overseer over his house, and all that he had he put into his hand. And it came to pass from the time that he made him overseer in his house, and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he knew not aught he had, save the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly person and well favored. And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she says, "Lie with me." But he refused, and said unto his master's wife, "Behold, my master wotteth not what is with me in the house, and he hath committed all that he hath to my hand. There is none greater in this house than I, neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee. Because thou art his wife, how then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" And it came to pass, as she spake to Joseph day by day, that he hearkened not unto her to lie by her or to be with her. And it came to pass about this time that Joseph went into the house to do his business. And there was none of the men of the house there within. And she caught him by his garment, saying, "Lie with me." And he left his garment in her hand and fled and got him out. And it came to pass, when she saw that he had left his garment in her hand and was fled forth, that she called unto the men of her house and spake unto them, saying, "See, he hath brought in a Hebrew unto us to mock us. He came in unto me to lie with me, and I cried with a loud voice. And it came to pass, when he heard that I lifted up my voice and cried, that he left his garment with me and fled and got him out. And she laid up his garment by her until his Lord came home. And she spake unto him according to these words, saying, "The Hebrew servant which thou hast brought unto us came in unto me to mock me. And it came to pass, as I lifted up my eyes and cried, that he left his garment with me and fled out. And it came to pass, when his master heard the words of his wife, which she spake unto him, saying, "After this manner did thy servant to me," that his wrath was kindled. And Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound. And he was there in the prison. But the Lord was with Joseph, and showed him mercy, and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hands all the prisoners that were in the prison, and whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. And the keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him. And that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper. Let's begin now with prayer after reading that chapter. Father, I thank you today that we can come and enjoy this study. I just ask that you will show us your way and will as we always open your word. It's your living word. And only when the Holy Spirit and the leadership of the Holy Spirit can teach us and guide us, will we understand your word. So please, we need today your direction. We need the Holy Spirit to be upon us as we study your word. I ask, Father, that the Holy Spirit will take his word and show it, Father, to everyone that is listening today, and including me, that I will hear from you and I will know it to be a truth and I will learn from it today. And I ask, Father, those that do not know you as their personal Savior, do not know you as their God, that they will come today. And they will be confessing their sin because they'll recognize your holiness, and they will come and they will recognize that they are just a wicked sinner, and they will fall on their faces asking for forgiveness. And when they do, Lord, they'll realize that you are there to forgive them and to save them and to set them free. So please, Lord, that be and that happen and take place today. Please, Lord, that many will come to you today and invite you into their hearts and live eternally with you. Now, please, Lord, guide and lead us and show us your way and will today. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, we've been in the past chapter there. We again spent all the time talking about Judah, and we just started just briefly and read just a couple of verses of scripture in this chapter 39, the last time we were together. And I want to take this time now and really look at this man Joseph, because as we look at the 12 tribes, you know, we're to chapter 39, and as we look to the end of the book of Genesis, you'll find there to be 50 chapters. And during this 50 chapters, we're going to find a lot of discussion and a lot of information, and we're going to learn a lot about this man named Joseph. He's not going to live through the rest of these 11 chapters. He will die much before that. But what he sets in place, and in even his very bones, we're going to talk about as it comes through to the end of this book. And then what is started here is referred to in the scripture. It just continues to come to light. So it's so important that we take a look at this young man, 16, 17, 18 years old here. And he is sold by his brothers. If you remember right, we need to kind of remember how that he got into the land of Egypt. Remember, his brothers were down, or actually up north, and they were up there tending their father's sheep. And when he went up to check with them, why they threw him into this hole in the ground and were going to kill him. They took his beautiful coat and they dipped it in the blood of a lamb, and they took this coat back then to his father, back to Jacob, back to Israel, and show him that their son, his son undoubtedly was dead. And this is all we found, was this coat. Well, they knew exactly where their brother was, where Israel's son was, because they had sold him to the Ishmaelites. The Ishmaelites had taken him down. The Ishmaelites then had brought him down, and they'd found this man in Egypt. And Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, and so he was the head of the military, head of the Pentagon, some refer to it. That's kind of a position that he had. So he had a position of great authority, and he purchased this slave, they thought, bought him from the Ishmaelites, and here this 17, 18-year-old boy comes down there, and you think, boy, there's just nothing. This Benjamin and Joseph are the only two that are really godly people, and especially as we're looking at Joseph here, and yet it seems like everything that happens is bad. It's wrong. It's going the wrong direction. How can this be good that his brothers would treat him so? And how would it be good that he has sold as a slave to this Egyptian? How would it be good that he has left the land now and he is in the country of Egypt? Well, we're going to learn a lot about the way that God works things out when a man is following after the Lord. Even though it doesn't seem like it's, if you'll notice, this isn't Joseph's way. This is God's way. God's got a plan. And Joseph is following God's plan. And he doesn't know where it's going. He doesn't know where it's leading to. And he's sure if he was to sit down and write what he thought that God would have him to do, it sure wouldn't have been to be beaten, thrown in a pit, you know, sold by his brothers, an Egyptian, buy him down in Egypt, and now he's a slave in the Egyptian's household. Would that been of his life as he wrote that down? I don't suppose that would have been the life that Joseph would have thought, because he would have imagined many things that God could have done with him and used him in, but it wouldn't have been. It would not have been this kind of a life, I'm sure. And yet, Joseph seems to be following clearly. He just... And we have some wonderful words there in verse 2. The Lord was with Joseph. He was a prosperous man. He was in the house of his master Joseph. We have several times here where the word speaks clearly, again in the 23rd verse, the end of it. The Lord was with him, and that which he did, the Lord made him to prosper. The two places is that's in reference to, one is in the Egyptian's household, the other is in prison. But both places the Lord is present, and the Lord is with Joseph. We have no record here of any time that the Lord is speaking, that he has spoke to Joseph. But we know that Joseph is a man of God. He is searching for the will of God. He is doing the will of God, even though he is away from his land, away from his family, and in a place of to be a servant in a land that the Scripture refers to Egypt as the world. And so Joseph's smack dab in the world. He's not into any place that's really safe. And yet the Lord has brought him there for a purpose. Let's look at what goes on here just a little bit. Once again, verse 1, Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian. And again, he would be the head of the Pentagon if we was to make a statement today of his position. Bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites. Now remember Hagar, and Hagar had Ishmael by Abraham, and there is a people now, and these Ishmaelites are, you know, beginning to populate the land, and they are they have followed after and brought this down. Now this isn't Ishmael is a wild man, and his descendants have very much followed that his character, what God had said that would happen, which God knows exactly what's going to take place. They bought him, brought him down, and you know, both were descendants of Abraham, and yet look what Joseph, he desires to serve the Lord, and the Ishmaelites desire to serve themselves. They come down and make a few bucks on selling this young man, and I think he was a very nice looking young man, a very strong man. And the Lord was with him, as we look in verse 2. The Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man. Seemed like everything that Joseph touched it was blessed. It seemed like everything that he touched, there was a blessing attached to it. And the Lord was with him. And that's what we'll find in our lives, you know. The world will not treat us properly, but the Lord can surely bless us. And we need to see and seek out and enjoy that blessing. Think about that while we're looking at what's happened, what's going to happen here, what's already happened in Joseph's life. And yet look how the Lord just continues to be with him. And once again, the second verse, because it's so important that you see this and we remember this. The Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. His master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him, and he made him overseer over his house, and all that he had he put into his hand. Now, we have a man here that sees the value of knowing someone that's godly. Now, sad to say, we're beginning to live in a country that does not recognize the importance of following after God and a true man of God. We want our ears tickled, so we go to a place where we're entertained on Sunday morning with all this fancy music, little preaching, very little word, and even the word that's preached, your ears are just kind of tickled anyway. And you, when you leave, you just really feel good. You don't feel like the Lord has touched your heart and maybe convicted you of sin or directed you to do something. You just feel good. And that's the only reason you went, was because I go to feel good. Well, that's the kind of relationship that most people have with God. But it's no relationship at all. Because when we bow down before our holy God, and we search his will, and we desire to know his will, and we study his word, and we follow after his will, that's when we get blessed of God. And I hear so many folks, oh, God's blessing me so much, and yet they know nothing of the word of God. They know nothing of the blessings of God. It is words that they've been taught as they go to these liberal churches and these liberal places where all they do is entertain. It's such a sad, sad day that we live in. And this country and this land will face the consequences of ignoring men of God, true men of God, not much of the garbage we have today. And most of your large churches, mega churches, most of them do not preach the Word of God. I'm going to tell it clear. I'm going to tell it simple. Most of them, you go, you get entertained, and so you bring your money. You know, you do that on Saturday night, don't you? You take a pocketbook full of money, and you just pour it out for the drinks and everything else, the entertainment that you have. Well, it serves the same purpose on Sunday morning. Or maybe you're doing it even on Saturday night so you can sleep in on Sunday and do whatever you want to on Sunday. God forbid that we would honor him and put him first. It's our schedule. Let's look at what Joseph's doing here. This sure isn't Joseph's schedule. This is God's schedule. And God has a plan. And it's wonderful as we look through this. Look at what happened here as we've just read those verses down through the fourth verse. Because as we look at at what has happened, immediately the master realizes that Joseph, this servant of his, that his God is blessing him. Everything he touches. Now, we're not sure what that is. We're not sure how that he was working in this household. We don't know whether it was with the livestock, whether it was with the gardening, with the... We don't know what it was. Whatever it was evident. It was evident that this man honored the Lord, so undoubtedly his voice was speaking. Did he hear him pray to the God of Israel, to the God of Abraham? These people, Egypt, they're educated people, especially the folks we're talking about here that were the masters. They knew of the God of Abraham. They had heard of him, and they had heard of many different things that had happened. I'm sure they heard of how that Abraham was so blessed, and Isaac, and now Jacob. They had heard of those things. They had no idea that this man was a son of Jacob. They didn't know that. But they had heard of these people, because these people became Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. They had great wealth. They had great land. And I'm sure word would come back and forth often of what was going on. And so somehow, and we're not really told how, but it was by the witness of Joseph, this man knew, this master knew, that he was being blessed of the Lord. It was without question. That's where it was coming from. Well, this man saw an opportunity to make gain. So he began to put Joseph in places of position and power. Now today, if we would do the same thing in this land, God would begin to bless this land. If we would put true men of God in places of power, or in at least places where the men of leadership, our president, our Senate, our House of Representatives, those people would begin to listen and listen good to what this man of God, through God's word, has to say and follow it. You can't imagine how that the Lord would bless this land. Now, the nation of Israel was the only one that was promised a land and the blessings of it. But I do promise you that God will bless us, and He will honor that. He spared Nineveh because they repented and turned to God. You want to see God's blessings? There's many examples in the Word of God. And so, here we have a man that somehow he gave a great witness to his master, a servant. A young servant at that, 16, 17 years old, gave such a tremendous witness that the master saw it. And he gave such a tremendous witness and testimony that the master knew that it was his Lord that was doing it. So he began to give him great position, great things to do. And everything that he touched, everything that he did, it was honored, it was blessed. Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him, and he made him overseer over his house, and all that he had he put into his hand. It came to pass from the time that he had made him overseer in his house, and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. He left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he knew not aught he had save the bread which he did eat. Joseph was a goodly person and well favored. I want you to see all that has taken place here. What happened? What was one of the first things here that has taken place? Joseph honored the Lord. The master of Joseph began to see that the Lord of Joseph was blessing Joseph. And so he thought he would jump on the wagon and join. And so he did. And the only way he knew to do that was to put Joseph in a place of great authority. And so he began to put him into more and more authority, to where at the point in time he was the leader. He had the whole household of his master. He oversaw everything. And it just continued to multiply. The master could not imagine how that this was happening. And the only word for it, the only way it could be explained, was the God of Joseph. Joseph's Lord was doing it. And again, look and see carefully that it was given unto the Lord. Blessings of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. He left all that he knew not aught he had. Now, I want you to understand what that's saying there in the sixth verse. the master not only gave it to him and enjoyed all the blessings of it, but he also gave him such authority that the master literally knew nothing of actually what he possessed. The only thing that he knew, the only thing that the master was aware of, was what it was put on his table. He trusted Joseph so much. Now we need to see, as believers in Jesus Christ, that we have such a testimony, that people will trust us, would trust us with everything that they have, and they would know that we will use our best judgment, and we will be good stewards of what they have given us, and we will be honorable and honest in our handlings of what they have. We need to give that testimony. Few Christians have that testimony today. It seems as though that most of the time it's as if someone is trying to steal, and it seems like that a Christian today, or people, quote, that call themselves Christians, let me explain, there are very few today that are true Christians. There are many say, I am a Christian, because they attend church or they're a good person. The only way that you are a Christian is if you have come by faith to Jesus Christ. And that's a personal relationship. You have confessed your sin and called on Him. It is not going through confirmation. It is not being baptized. It is not attending a church. It's not attending this church. If you were baptized in this church and come into this church, you would not necessarily be saved. You can do those things. You can perform those acts. But what you must do to be a child of God, a son of God, you must come by faith to Jesus Christ. And it's a heart change. It's a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Most folks know about God. Most folks can quote Scripture. Most folks can say, I am born again. But they have never experienced Jesus Christ in their life. Because Jesus Christ, by the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, He comes to live within us, and He will guide and lead us, and He will show us His way and will. You must come by faith to Jesus Christ to be saved. And if you are a true believer in Jesus Christ, then we need to live a life that is pleasing unto the Lord. We need to be one that is trustworthy, one that, when His word is spoken, you do not need to write it down. It does not have to be in writing and signed a contract, because when a man speaks, when a woman speaks that's a Christian, their word should be good, and they will honor that word. We do not need to have it in writing. And I have always said, if your word is no good, that handwriting, that signature is just as worthless. We need to be a true Christian. And a true Christian is one that is Christ-like. We need to follow His word. We need to live at the best level we can live, following after Him, honoring Him, showing Him praise and honor. This man Joseph did that. Even though he was a servant, he honored God, and he gave God the praise for everything that was given him. And it was so evident that it was seen here in his master's eyes as a wonderful thing to follow, and he did. Now, is his master saved? No, he isn't. You see, he's just kind of on the shirt tails and taking the blessings, and that's exactly what's happening in this land today. God is so far blessing and honoring this land. That blessing and that honor will end, and it's going to end soon. Because man is not following after God. Man is doing everything to get God out of the picture. Well, that would be to your own damnation the day that that's accomplished. The day that that's accomplished. This land, this people that we're talking about right here with Joseph and his dad's name's Jacob, which is Israel. The day that we turn our back on Israel, the day that we do that, will be the day that this land will no longer exist, will be under the rule of someone else. Now, that's a serious statement, and it's a true statement. I believe the Word of God, and I believe that God will honor those that do stand with the nation of Israel. We need to learn a lot from this man, Joseph. We need to learn that even when you're a servant, you can bring great honor to God. Now, you could complain and whine, and God, why am I here, and how come this is going on in my life? Or you can say, God, I'm here, now you use me, and I will honor you, and I will lift you up. That's exactly what Joseph did. We've got much to learn from this man. We have much to learn from God's Word. I didn't want to get into the next section, because we're going to see once again that even the man of God, he's going to see something happen to him and think, why me? Not Joseph. Joseph prayed and honored God. My dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?